This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, powered by the Family Research Council, your embassy of faith, family, and freedom in the heart of our nation's capital. Now, here's your host, FRC President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Wednesday edition, another court ruling yesterday, this time on the subject of immigration, restricting the actions of the Trump administration to undo the executive actions of the Obama administration. So, who is running the country? The president, elected by the people, or unelected judges? We'll talk about that with Congressman Andy Biggs of Arizona. Also, tensions in the Middle East continue to rise as Israel takes a more aggressive stance in Syria, squaring off with Iran. Is this just another flare-up, or is there more to it? FRC's Executive Vice President, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, is here in just a little bit. And another community is refusing to yield to the bullying of the Anti-Christian Freedom From Religion Foundation. And one of the parents leading the effort in the Ohio town of Beloit is Brooke Pigeon, and he'll join me later here on Washington Watch. And speaking of schools, of course, we're monitoring the situation in Florida with another school shooting. And another reminder of how volatile our society is and why we need prayer in our schools. But we'll visit that a little bit later. I'll be taking your phone calls as well. You can check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right. A U.S. district judge in Brooklyn ruled that the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, DACA, cannot end March 5th as the Trump administration had planned. Now, the program had been put in place by Barack Obama. It wasn't by Congress. It was unilateral by the president, unilaterally. He did it himself because Congress wouldn't act. Now, this allows those who were brought to the U.S. illegally as children to stay. Now, my focus is not so much on the issue of immigration, but how courts are running our country. Now, keep in mind, President Trump, then President Obama, actually did this, put it by executive order. President Trump undoing it by executive order, but now two courts have stepped in and says he can't do it just yet. With us now is Congressman Andy Biggs. He represents the 5th Congressional District of Arizona. He is a member of the House Judiciary Committee and a member of the House Freedom Caucus. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks, Tony. Good to be with you.
I know you're just wrapping up some votes there on the House floor, so I appreciate you taking a few moments to step off and join us. I want to ask you, first off, are you concerned about the courts that are deciding policy for this administration, whether it's on the immigration issue or on our nation's military? Increasingly, we see the courts deciding what is constitutionally reserved for the president and the Congress.
Yeah, it's very discomforting, and it causes a lot of anxiety. We've even had a hearing in the Judiciary Committee about this because— if you look at this guy's ruling, this judge's ruling, he basically issued a nationwide injunction from his little, small New York district court. And I'm just not sure why a single district court judge, we're not talking en banc, we're not talking all the judges getting together, we're not talking anything more than a single district judge thinking that he has the authority to issue a nationwide injunction. And moreover, this guy was out there talking about, don't bring this heartless stuff into my court, and he was announcing his bias in and outside the courtroom before this case ever came to conclusion. It's outrageous, both for his personal animus and bias, and also for the fact that I don't think he has the authority to issue a nationwide injunction from this federal district court.
Now, Congressman, didn't we see some federal judges do the same thing on the travel ban, where when the president put that in place originally, you had district court judges basically stop that as well? Again, another issue that constitutionally is reserved for the executive, the chief executive of the country. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say you definitely saw that, and that's what has spurred some of the discussion and hearing in the halls of in the Judiciary Committee in the halls of Congress is the judiciary is now stepping way outside its lane. It's been outside its lane for literally decades, but this is moving into other both the legislative and the executive lanes in a major way, like we haven't seen before.
Now, is it not true that many have challenged the actions of then President Obama on DACA, that they were outside his authority as the president to do? I mean, it's not been adjudicated, but many have challenged the constitutionality of those actions.
Yes, yes, and the reason being is that's an Article 1, Section 8 issue. And I'm talking about the Constitution and where it talks about naturalization laws and immigration laws. It's not necessarily for the executive branch to come in and willfully misinterpret or not enforce the laws. And that's what President Obama did.
And he himself admitted prior to those actions on DACA that he didn't have the authority, trying to pressure Congress to act. Congress wouldn't act. And so then a year later, he took those actions himself, which, as we said, have been challenged by many as being unconstitutional. But what we see here now is President Trump legally has the right under his executive authority to undo executive orders of the previous administration. So we have the courts restricting the legal actions of this president to protect the illegal actions of the previous.
Tony, yeah, that's 100% right. And that's what is really galling when you read the opinion of this judge. Some of the things he says in there, he frankly acknowledges that President Trump has the constitutional authority to undo this action. But he just didn't like the grounds that Attorney General Jeff Sessions said in his in his order, and to me that's the height of judicial arrogance.
Well, he also brought up the fact that in his statements in the courtroom, he brought up what he called President Trump's recurring redundant drumbeat of anti-Latino commentary. Making reference to his tweets and other comments in closed-door meetings.
Yeah. No, and that's part of the arrogance that we see in this particular case, and that's what I'm getting at. This judge, in my opinion, had an emotional bias against President Trump. And he was a Clinton appointee, and that doesn't mean anything in many cases. I think that there are some Clinton appointees that do some real marvelous job, but this guy was using his animus here, his emotional animus against the president, and I think he had a predetermined decision and then tailored his reasons to meet his determination, his predetermined outcome, which is actually the opposite of what a good judge and a good lawyer will do.
Right. Congressman Biggs, a judge is to look at the facts, the Constitution, do they measure up, are they actions outside the Constitution or the stated statutory authority. What I think this does, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this complicates the legislative debate over immigration by the court interjecting itself here and essentially going beyond its authority as the judicial branch. I think it's going to make it much more difficult for Congress to reach an agreement.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's only because it creates this lever or this wedge into the negotiations that are going on right now. What I've counseled anybody who's listened to me is just ignore the two judicial opinions, the one on New York and the one on San Francisco, because, quite frankly, they have, in my opinion, no authority to do what they did. And that authority rests with Congress right now. And we need to do what we're supposed to do and then worry about cleaning up the courts when we're able.
Well, and this does, once again, not only are we dealing with the immigration issue, which is an issue in and of itself, but it also brings a spotlight back on to the issue of the courts and why this administration, as it pursues constitutional judges, why that is so important and even keeping in mind in the midterm election.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, of all the good things that have come out of the Trump administration and this Congress, the number one good is Neil Gorsuch. And then the dozen or so federal appellate judges that are out there that are they're constitutional scholars. They're strict interpretation of the original intent. Those things are critical. And President Trump's about to release another tranche of appellate nominees and hope that they get through, because this is. We've fallen under the spell so much of the judiciary that we need to take it back. And the way we take it back is, quite frankly, by electing conservatives, Republicans to the House and the Senate and in the White House.
Yeah, without question. Congressman Andy Biggs, as always, great to have you on the program. Thanks for taking time off the House floor to talk with us.
Thanks, Tony. Have a great afternoon.
You too. Arizona Congressman Andy Biggs. They've got votes going on in the House floor, so that was the noise in the background. He was stepping off the House floor. This is a very serious issue. Now, I'm not going to get into the merits right now of the immigration issue. I mean, we've talked about that before, and we will talk about it again. But I want to underscore what's happening here with the courts. As I mentioned, we saw this with the travel ban. We've seen this now with the military. We saw it in the previously with Guantanamo Bay. We've seen it with the transgender policy, where on the way out the door, unilaterally, Barack Obama, let off a cultural time bomb, setting in place this policy that would recruit the sexually confused transgenders into the nation's military. President Trump, looking at all of the facts, the cost, listening to military leaders and retired military leaders, because a lot of the military, in terms of its leadership, was hollowed out by the Obama administration, only wanting, basically military leaders who would go along with his social experimentation. And so a lot of the retired military leaders who understand what it takes to build a military to win and fight and win wars said, bad idea. So we're going to reverse it. And what the courts do? Stepped in and said, no, you can't do that. This is a real problem. All right. When we come back from the break, General Jerry Boykin going to join us. We're going to talk about what's happening in the Middle East, this latest flare-up with Israel in Syria squaring off with Iran that's operating there. Is there more to it than meets the eye? We're going to talk about that with Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin when we return. Don't go away. We're back with more Washington Watch after this.
What does sex trafficking, abortion, and pornography have in common? A lot, as it turns out, and all three are on the rise across the world. Today, almost 45.8 million people live in slavery around the world, and around 4.5 million people are slaves in the sex industry. Those who consume pornography are much more likely to seek women for paid sex, many of whom are victims of sex trafficking. Each click of pornography creates demand for more pornography and brings in a profit to the sex industry. The demand causes traffickers, pimps, and those involved in the sex industry to abuse their victims by filming them in sex acts. To learn more about the link between these issues and to find out how you can help stop it, go to frc.org/traffic. Again, that's frc.org/traffic.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. Across the nation, transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. The problem for these activists is that the evidence is not on their side. In 2016, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services examined 33 studies on the subject and declared that there was not enough evidence to determine whether gender reassignment surgery improved health outcomes. One study found that those who had undergone gender reassignment surgery showed a suicide rate that was 19 times higher than the general population. Declaring gender reassignment surgery to be medically necessary is not only inaccurate, but dangerous. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery. Again, that's frc.org/surgery.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As Senior Director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Here, Mr. Arnakis discusses the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right, is the threat of an all-out war between Israel and Iran real? Now, many are saying it is. We're seeing a flare-up over there with Iran being in Syria. We had a drone go over into Israeli space. Israelis responded. They don't mess around. But sometimes we get a little, we see all this stuff happening over there and we just think, usual. Is there more to this? Joining us now, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. He serves as the Executive Vice President here at the Family Research Council, retired three-star general under Secretary of Defense for Intelligence during the George W. Bush administration. General, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony.
All right. Is this just normal, pushing and shoving over in the Middle East in Syria, or is there more to this?
No, I think it's more than that, Tony. First of all, this drone was launched by Iran, and it was launched out of Syria, but it was launched by Iran, and that's the first time they've had that kind of actual incursion into Israel. They violated Israeli airspace, so the Israelis acted very swiftly and very decisively and not only knocking down the drone but bombing, the command center where the drone was launched from as well as other targets. So I don't think this is business as usual. I think that the fact that Iran is being more provocative than they have been in the past leaves us wondering what's next. What are they planning next, and why did they go into Israel with that drone?
Of course, the Israeli losing one of their jets as they were bombing some of these targets in Syria, first time that's happened in quite some time.
It is, but they have lost aircraft before, and here's what's, I think, interesting. The radar and the missile systems are Russian-made. The Russians have a lot to lose here because they sent a lot of aircraft in there. It wasn't just the four that we know of. They sent probably a dozen aircraft in there, and only one was shot down. And they reported heavy anti-aircraft fire. What does that mean? Same thing it meant after the Gulf War when our M1 Abrams tanks and our armored personnel carriers just rolled right over the top of the Iraqi army. It means Russian equipment is inferior, and when it's put on the world stage like it was here, okay, so they lost one aircraft. but they should have shot them all down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because their systems are inferior. So it's a huge embarrassment for the Russians, I believe.
And this is a tactical benefit for the United States with those American-made jets, fighter jets. We get a lot of information from their practical battlefield application that allows us to tweak our systems.
That's right. And you go, if you go all the way back to really 1948, the Israelis created an air force out of nothing. So they're very innovative and they're very creative, and they do what they have to do. And we learn from them. We learn from their tactics. We learn from their technology that they put on those American-made aircraft. I actually climbed up in the cockpit one day at Tel Nof Air Force Base, and I had them explain to me what was different about their aircraft and ours. And they have more things on their aircraft than we do, generally speaking. So we learn a lot from them. It's very advantageous for us to sell and give the Israelis military hardware because we get a lot in return.
Politically, there's some issues over there right now. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, now some political pressure with an investigation into him, into his conduct, possible indictments is what we're hearing. The parliament there, the ruling government, the majority, kind of volatile. Could that be a factor in what might happen there in Syria with Iran?
Well, so, you know, there is certainly a scenario that says he will now go after Hezbollah and Iran proper, maybe. I don't think that's going to happen, but it is certainly a scenario just to deflect the attention away from what he's going through. But here's the thing to remember. Nothing is going to happen to Netanyahu right away. This is going to be probably a year before they even decide whether to indict him or not. And then they have to go through the entire process. And then they go through the appeal process. So he's, unless he decides to step down, unless he buckles to the pressure, which is not his nature to do that, I don't think he's going anywhere. But your question, could this result in him taking some additional action that he might not have taken? Obviously he could, but I don't see that as his nature either.
So where are we 1 year after the Trump administration has come on the scene? How are things in the Middle East?
Oh, I think things are better in the Middle East. I think that generally speaking, when he stood up in Riyadh and he looked at them and he said, drive them out. What most people didn't realize was that term drive them out is in the Quran, and they understood that language. Whoever wrote it for them, it was brilliant. Now, what have they done? They've actually started to isolate pariah nations over there. The Saudis, for example, isolated Qatar. Then the UAE came along and isolated Qatar. So I think that he's had a big influence on that. You still have a couple of outliers. One is Syria and the other one is Iran. Those are outliers. They are still problematic, and he's going to have to deal with them. And I think the first thing that he needs to do is give serious consideration to canceling the Iran deal and putting them back on the sanctions list and making them pay for what they're doing here.
Is that probable that he'll do that?
I think it is, but he won't have the support of his European allies because as soon as they lifted sanctions, the European allies
made a lot of money.
Yeah, he made huge investments in there. He'll have to go it alone, but we've done that before, and I think that it's only a matter of time until he's going to come to grips with the fact that we've got to withdraw our support for the Iran deal, and we've got to reimplace or reimpose sanctions.
All right. Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, as always, great to have you on the program.
Good to be here.
All right. Okay, folks. Well, we'll obviously keep our eye on what's happening in the Middle East and the days and weeks ahead. But next, coming up, members of an Ohio community are fighting back after an anti-Christian group tried to pressure a high school to ban its long-held tradition of praying before sporting events. Brooke Pigeon, a concerned parent, joins us when we return. Don't go away. More Washington Watch still to come.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God. But culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Ornakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God. But culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right. Yesterday we were talking with some parents in North Carolina that successfully, by the way, that Planned Parenthood curriculum that was put into the schools. There was a school board meeting last night, and the parents prevailed, and that Get Real campaign launched by Planned Parenthood, well, it's out the door. Parents can make a difference if they'll get involved. And members of the West Branch High School basketball team in Beloit, Ohio, they say that the Freedom From Religion Foundation, that's a name you're familiar with if you listen to this program, they're the anti-Christian bullies, they're demanding that the district stop allowing prayer before sporting events, attempting to silence their customary prayer before games. With us now is one of the parents of that community that refuses to be silenced. Brooke Pigeon and his wife Brandy have two children in West Branch High School, and they have undertaken a campaign to send a pretty strong message that they're going to continue to pray. Brooke, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So your community, the community, parents are saying, you know what? We want to pray. This is something we've done for a long time. We're not going to be silenced by this group out of Wisconsin, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, that tends to go around bullying these small school districts and small towns, trying to basically rob them of their heritage.
Well, correct. It's just kind of out of the blue. And, freedom of religion and the ability to be able to practice your religion should not be contained, and especially in our community, it's such a faith-based community, and the kids, you know, from their homes on, speak and learn, and from their hearts comes Christianity.
Well, Brooke, what I like about your response is I understand that you kind of organizing together, you banded together to sell over 4,000 Prayer Matters T-shirts and sweatshirts in the community. And the community only has 900 people.
Right. Yeah, it started out as, it was kind of twofold. Number one, we wanted to let the administrators know that where we stand on the issue, so they felt comfortable in making decisions that would be in the best interest of the community. And number two, just tried to raise a couple bucks, tried to, let them know, hey, there's people out here in this little community that will support you and help you and try to, defend anything that comes along. And, hey, let's go for this. And it's kind of turned apparently there's an extraordinary need across the country for education and of what's going on here. And it's kind of turned into a massive movement here.
Brooke, I think you're absolutely right. What's happened is I think people are so tired of being bullied by these liberal groups that want to take prayer out. They want to rob us of everything. They want to silence Christians. And I think people are just, generally speaking, waiting for someone to stand up and speak up, and then they'll fall right in behind them. And that appears to be what's happening there in Ohio. Is the school board, the administrators, are they getting the message that the community is behind them?
Yeah, we don't know yet. I certainly believe that they feel that the community is behind them. It's just, we're not sure, obviously, of the decisions that are going to be made. But, I think ultimately, they certainly know how the community feels about it. That's for sure. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, what's the timeline? What's the next steps here? Is the school board waiting to announce a new policy?
We're trying to educate ourselves. I mean, obviously, we don't want to. I mean, my intention or our intention is not to intentionally break the law, but what can we do? I mean, what are you allowed to do?
Right.
Instead of just getting that letter and just throwing these things aside, in order to make things better, we need to look at the, circuit judges that are in charge and begin to vote people in power that can make significant decisions for Christianity and religion in general. But to get a letter that you can't practice religion at all in any form certainly isn't right. And, just ironically, in the ABA Journal this month was an article about, let us pray. It was more about government officials, but it was an interesting article where people were, divided on it. The interpretations are divided. It depends on what circuit you're in. We're just trying to learn as much as we can. And I think the biggest benefit of all of this is being a support network for other schools that are facing the same thing. If we can get two things out of this, number one, if you do get one of these letters, there's the availability of a place to go to instantly find out what you can and can't do immediately. What happened in our situation, we reached out to a group and we were basically turned down. And so that kind of left us out in an island. And then all of a sudden, it became national news and, they want to begin to represent us again. But, ultimately, what happens to those schools that don't have a forum to speak? They're getting these letters and they're out on an island. And what needs to happen is they need to be informed of what they can and can't do.
Brooke, we're up against a break. Can you hold on for just a couple of minutes?
I can. Sure.
And we'll finish this on the other side of the break. Folks, don't go away. We're going to come back and finish our conversation with Brooke and then take your calls next on Washington Watch.
What does sex trafficking, abortion, and pornography have in common? A lot, as it turns out. And all three are on the rise across the world. Today, almost 45.8 million people live in slavery around the world, and around 4.5 million people are slaves in the sex industry. Those who consume pornography are much more likely to seek women for paid sex, many of whom are victims of sex trafficking. Each click of pornography creates demand for more pornography and brings in a profit to the sex industry. The demand causes traffickers, pimps, and those involved in the sex industry to abuse their victims by filming them in sex acts. To learn more about the link between these issues and to find out how you can help stop it, go to frc.org/traffic. Again, that's frc.org/traffic.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. Across the nation, transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. The problem for these activists is that the evidence is not on their side. In 2016, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services examined 33 studies on the subject and declared that there was not enough evidence to determine whether gender reassignment surgery improved health outcomes. One study found that those who had undergone gender reassignment surgery showed a suicide rate that was 19 times higher than the general population. Declaring gender reassignment surgery to be medically necessary is not only inaccurate, but dangerous. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery. Again, that's frc.org/surgery.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God. But culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. All right. As we were talking with Brooke Pigeon, one of the parents, which West Branch High School in Beloit, Ohio, another one of those small towns where the Freedom From Religion Foundation swooping in, sending a letter, and there's a pattern here. This happens in generally rural, smaller communities where, you know, money's always tight. And, you know, school boards, city councils, others don't want to, well, they don't have it, but they also don't want to unnecessarily spend money in courts defending policies that this legal group says are unconstitutional. And so oftentimes they just kind of capitulate. They wave a white flag. But I think as you're seeing from these parents in West Branch, at West Branch High School, they're not. They're saying enough is enough, and that's happening across the country. It's got to be done right. Obviously, there might be some policies that are not completely in accordance with the law, and they need to be. But there's a lot of room here for parents and students to exercise their faith. Brooke, thanks for sticking around. I know exactly what you're saying, because you don't want to do something that is not right according to the law, although some of these laws have been really twisted. However, there, as I was just saying, there's a lot of room to operate within. There's policies that have withstood scrutiny from the courts, and it's just a matter of getting the right legal representation. But you get these groups that are just intimidating, and they twist the facts, and they try to cause school boards to basically fold before the fight starts.
Right. And, I mean, the objective would be to try to reach these schools across the country and let them know that they have, you know, that it's just not easily accessible. And they get in a situation where, you know, the superintendent or school board, they just don't want to deal with it. You know, it's just easier not to. And there needs to be easier access to this information to where, number one, just stop and listen. And then number two, if you've made decisions in the past to completely eliminate any type of religion in your school, then here are options that are available to you. And I just don't know, you know, 100% what's out there for that right now. That's you know, doesn't have to go through some kind of a choosing mechanism where there's just a 24/7 800 number that someone can help you with. I mean, that's what needs to be done.
Yeah. Well, there are groups, and I think the Liberty First Liberty is on the ground up there, as I understand. That's a group that we work with that kind of specializes in the school and in schools and religious freedom. But here's the key point, Brooke, and this is you talk about the educators and the school board members backing up. Well, when parents are sending it, they can't back up. And that's what's so critical about what you all are doing by organizing and saying, hey, we got your back. So don't go anywhere. And I think it not only reinforces, but it holds them accountable to what the people in the community have. And if you can do this in Beloit, Ohio, then parents all across the country can do the same thing to stand up for their values. And I just commend you for taking the lead here and being a part of organizing this effort to say enough is enough.
Thank you.
And anything we can do, we're happy to help. We're going to continue to track this, and I know we've got your contact information. We're going to stay in touch with you to see how we might be of assistance there to you folks in Ohio standing up for faith, family, and freedom.
Yep. Thank you for the platform.
All right. You'll have a great day, and keep those prayers rolling.
Sure will. Thank you. God bless.
All right. Thanks. Brooke Pigeon from Beloit, Ohio. Folks, I mean, I don't know if you're seeing, it's only Wednesday, and we've been talking about parents taking back education every day this week, and it was not by design. You know, from California to North Carolina to Ohio, we've been discussing parents this week who are informed, engaged, and in some cases enraged. But the thing is, they're standing up. So I want to know, do you know what's going on in your school? Let me know. You know, one of the things Brooke was saying is that, you know, we didn't know where to turn. All right, well, if you've got something going on in your school district and you don't know where to turn, give me a call. Call me right now. 866-372-7234, 866-372-3234. We're talking about parents getting involved in education, whether it's school prayer, whether it's the curriculum. Yesterday it was North Carolina with the Planned Parenthood sex ed program that was so obscene reporters couldn't write about the content. I mean, if you're not paying attention, this is going to be in your schools. So I want to know, have you uncovered something, or is something happening in your school district, or maybe you've got a story to share. Maybe you've gotten involved and maybe you stopped something. Maybe you turned something around in your community. Hey, encourage others with that. Tell us about it. 866-372-7234, the number to call to get in on the conversation this afternoon. Look, this bottom line, our form of government, our republic, our Republican form of government requires participation. Our government was not made for spectators, all right? It doesn't work that way. In fact, what happens is the left just tramples upon our rights and our freedoms when we sit by and don't get engaged. Now, I am not advocating that we just outright adopt policies that are beyond the parameters of the law. Now, I do think some laws have to be changed so that they are in accordance with the Constitution, because we have lost a lot of freedoms and a lot of rights, and a part of that is taking those back. But we'll never have it if we don't use it. We lose our freedoms when we don't use those freedoms. And there is so much that can be done, especially on religious freedom and the free exercise, so much that can be done under even current bad law. But you get these groups like the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which are they're deceptive. They're liars. And what they try to do is to bully and to intimidate. They're cultural terrorists. They try to intimidate and to bully. And these little school districts, these little towns that don't have a lot of money, they just, okay, all right, whatever, we'll do it. Man, stand up. You've got groups, First Liberty, You've got Liberty Counsel. You've got Alliance Defending Freedom. They're ready to represent your community free of charge through the support of, you know, folks like you who support those organizations defending our first freedom. All right, let's I'm going to take some phone calls here. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Alabama where Billy is on the line. Billy, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for the opportunity. The reason I'm calling, I believe these individuals need to get together, and who all received the letter should do a class action lawsuit because it's in their name, freedom from religion. That's a violation of our religious freedom. So I believe people need to stand together, do a class action lawsuit, and just totally annihilate them through civil action.
Hmm. Interesting thought. Thanks for the call, Billy. Appreciate it. I think there is certainly power in unity, and I think this is the point that that Brooke was making. He says, you know, we didn't know anything about this. I mean, most people are not thinking about how to combat these bullies until it happens to them, and they are not paying attention that this happened in another community, and so they are disconnected, and they do need to know where to get that information. And folks, if you've got those issues, let us know at the Family Research Council. We will connect you, all right, with people that can get you the information you need. You can email me, tony@tonyperkins.com. Look, I'm ready. I'm ready to lead the folks of this country who want to stand up and push back against those who are robbing us of our God-given rights, our freedom to worship Him and to follow Him and to live out our faith and to speak. I'm tired of that. Look, I will not live as a captive in my own country out of fear of these bullies. Won't do it. Absolutely refuse to do it. Let's go to Mindy in Missouri. Mindy, welcome to Washington Watch. Hey, Mindy, how you doing?
Hello, how are you?
Mindy, go ahead. I'm good. Go right ahead.
Thank you so very much. Thank you so much for taking my call. I live in a little town in Missouri, and I have become very active in my children's education. I have four girls, and I became very active and started working to try and keep Common Core out of our schools and out of the state. And I went to the legislature. I testified in front of the, you know, the state senators, all of those things. Any sort of hearings I could, I went to. Never once did my school board come to anything. Never once did they try to educate themselves on it. They just passed it unanimously and thought that I was just a thorn in their side. And I have tried, you know, I've tried to tell other parents this problem. And most of them, honestly, a lot of them just kind of want to stick their heads in the sand and just say, hey, you educate my kid. You know, I'm just glad to have them gone for 8 hours. And it's been really frustrating because I'm very concerned about, you know, what they're learning and what they're not learning. I mean, about the Constitution, about all of those things. I did homeschool for a while, and then I stopped because I got sick, and I'm better now. So I think I'm going to go back to homeschooling. But also my kids, for example, they'll go to school sick because if they don't go to school, then their attendance is affected. Then they can't go to the end-of-the-year carnival. They can't go on field trips. So my kids will beg me to send them to school sick because they don't want to be punished for being sick. And that's all tied to the whole Common Core thing about attendance. And as a parent, it's been so frustrating, and I've tried so hard, you know, to educate other people. But, you know, like I said, a lot of people just don't want to hear it.
That is a problem. I will not dispute that at all. That is a problem. Apathy is a huge problem. And I think that's why we've got to continually wake up the Christian community. Number one, parents have a responsibility when it comes to the education of their children. But Mindy, let me ask you this. Have you given thought to running for the school board?
Oh, I did run for the school board. And they did. I signed up at like the very last day, and then they had somebody sat ready to sign up after I did. And so it messed with the tallies. And so I didn't get on. And I'm sure it was by design because, you know, I mean, I called them out, and it made them mad. And, you know, it's like you keep saying, we want you involved in your child's education. Please be involved in your child's education. Then I come in and I say, okay, I want to be involved. I'm concerned about this and this and this. you know, and then you are mad at me and you think I'm a thorn in your side.
Well, what they mean by being involved, what they mean by being involved is they want you to follow their instructions, is what they mean
exactly.
by that. Well, Mindy, I commend you for being involved, and I would encourage you to think again. You know, a lot of times you don't win on the first time around, and so don't give up. Continue to be involved, and whether you choose to homeschool your kids, which is a great alternative, or you leave them there and you run for the school board again and change it for others. Mindy, thanks so much for calling. Good to talk with you. Let's go on to, I'm going to work another call here. Let's go to Ohio where Joe is on the line. Joe, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, thank you for your program and your ministry. And I would also like to encourage as many Christian conservatives as possible to run for their local school boards. It's one way we can take the schools back. And the just like to say, you know, what I've seen in schools where I live is, you know, they've gotten worse and worse. They've taken the religion out of schools and they got worse and worse. And they took the discipline out of schools to where the teachers and the principals and the counselors can discipline the troublemakers. And like I said, if they do discipline, they've always got a ACL, you know, an attorney looking over trying to sue the teacher or the school board for wrongful discipline. And there was a study out a few years ago, and it just shocked me that I think it was 83% of all teachers who teach in public schools, if they have children, they've got their children in private schools. So that right there tells you, you know, 83% of the people teaching in public schools don't want their children in the public school system. They've got them in private schools or charter schools. So it was an astounding statistic. And it was a few.
Yeah, I've not.
I've not heard
that number. I'll have to look into that. I wouldn't be surprised because of the troubles and the challenges that are in the public school all across the country. The security issues, the quality of education. So many issues. Joe, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening and calling in. I mean, that is actually one of the reasons that a lot of people choose to homeschool is curriculum. Religion is a major factor, but there's also parents who choose to homeschool just because of the security issues, like we just see unfolding out there in Florida. Now, I don't know all the particulars that was happening as it was coming on the air, so I don't know. I know that I've heard they have the gunman in custody, but look, acknowledging that there is a creator who created us, who sets the rules by which we are to live and obey, cannot be a bad thing. Love your neighbor. Obey those in authority. Folks, we have to stand up and we have to speak up. And you know what you do? As the Apostle Paul says, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken that stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. Again, that's 1-866-372-7234. 372-7234.